You're listening to the Self-Made Podcast. My name's Mike Coffey, and joining me are my co-hosts, Sam Ramundi and Jeff and Jess Banky.
We're recording the podcast. This is a cold open.
So we are live.
We're podcasting. Ooh, we are podcasting.
I know how to get us more lively. We got a really I'm gonna behave myself, you guys. No promises, but yes, I'm gonna behave. Why? Woodwork and Whiskers shared a story this morning that he did loving our podcast, and it was a very fun story to watch. It made us very excited to see. Keep sharing that with us, guys. It makes us happy. I mean, thank you so much for the raving review. We appreciate
it. Yes, please keep the dad jokes coming.
Oh my god, we got some dad jokes in our reviews.
I'll say there were some more. I saw two.
We got
more.
Yeah. Oh, can we read them? I really want to read them.
I'll read some off of Apple Podcasts real quick. It's great to hear the unfiltered inside conversations, advice, and pains of running a woodworking / DIY / content creation business. Outside of WorkbenchCon conversations, it's hard to get this kind of information being a solo creator. Each episode is fun and full of useful information.
That's really nice.
That's a good one.
That's like
that's a great review.
I dig it.
Fun seems to be had by all. A fun and educational conversation for woodworking makers. Give it a listen. I'm assuming it's give it a listen.
Oh, love that.
Favorite people just hanging out from Bottles and Beams. Hey,
That is the vibe we want. So that makes me happy.
And then, wait a minute. If your ears are too sensitive for the occasional F-bombs, be warned that these are adults talking and occasionally you will hear that kind of thing. For Sam, who requested dad jokes in reviews, where do outlaw rainbows go? To prism. That's good. Now Sam is supposed to drop an F-bomb. What the fuck?
This is amazing. We need, like, it's just, why do dad jokes make me so happy?
Because they're the
best. So great.
Knee slappers.
Keith Decent left a good one. Great listen. I just wish they would drop more F-bombs. That's a good one. We got you. Or well, Sam does for sure.
We fucking love you, Keith.
Yes. Whoa! I was kidding.
We're only 2 minutes in, Sam. Person.
That is not the soonest I've ever dropped one, so let's be real.
Yeah,
you guys should be proud of me that it took 2 minutes, okay?
You have some very impressive state records. Jeez.
So good.
I think last week we kind of ended on a note of saying we would talk more about YouTube, and I think this week we kind of went into the show wanting to talk more about YouTube. So I think this week we're going to talk about it. I wanted to mention what happened to my YouTube channel. And this was kind of a shock, but kind of not. I mean, I kind of knew it was happening. Just kind of the writing was on the wall, but when it actually did happen, I was like, whoa, what the heck? But my camera guy left and, which is understandable. He's got a very busy day job. He's a videographer and he owns a production company, and it's really been harder and harder for him to set aside time for YouTube. And the biggest problem with that is because the channel just doesn't make as much money as he could be doing his day job. And that's where kind of the conversation I think we want to steer into is like, what do you want from YouTube is kind of the conversation. And we were discussing that in our group chat yesterday. Because I was like, man, I was feeling really beaten down by YouTube, but I've actually had a switch flipped and I feel much better. I'm much more excited about it because now I feel like I can do this all on my own schedule now. Not that Pete was dragging me down, like doing that with Pete was great. And we're still friends. There's no animosity there at all. Like I completely understand his decision is fully a business one. And I get it. It's tough to justify making zero money on something when you can make money on things. So, but with that being said, YouTube is a tough landscape to navigate, especially in the beginning. Actually, not at any point in time does it get easier. It seems like everyone at any level that you talk to has struggles, perceived or real, I would say. I think once you start to hit certain milestones on anything, anytime there's any sort of setback, you see it as a massive frustration, which is very natural because that's just how the human brain works. So,
yeah, I think, you know, one thing, I know we were talking about this in our group chat, and I just want to kind of, I think this is a good place to start this conversation too, is like, I think when you're doing YouTube, you need to figure out what your goal is, right? Because if your goal is like, hey, I love making videos, long form videos are cool, I love like putting things together, teaching people things, putting myself out there, like these are things that are internal motivators, right, for YouTube. But what happens is, and this happens with social media too, and this is like the psychology brain coming out here, but like what happens with social media and with YouTube a lot of times is there are these external motivators that come into play too. And that comes in the version of, you know, likes on a video, views on a video, how much money you're making on a video, how far that video is going, subscriber count, right? There are all these external things on YouTube that are going to be there, but they're not always there consistently. So you need to find the thing that consistently allows you to show up and continue to produce videos on YouTube for you when those external motivators are not present, because it's going to happen. Like everybody's channel ebbs and flows.
And I think that, I mean, I tell people this with business as well, but you have to love the process, because if you're getting into content to make money, sure, you can make a lot of freaking money and the top creators are crushing it and making a lot of money, but you're not going to make a lot of money for a long time. It takes quite a while to build up that. And like AdSense just isn't going to pay the bills if that's your only sort of income. So you really need to focus on diversifying your income. But again, you shouldn't get into it for the sake of making money, because you're going to get kicked in the gut pretty freaking quick. Because it takes a long to start a YouTube channel fresh is so hard. Just to from ground zero to work up. Like it helps so much if you have other platforms to help push it. But even that, it's hard to get people to go from YouTube or from Instagram to YouTube or Facebook to YouTube, because most people that are on those platforms are on those platforms and aren't exactly hanging out on a lot of other platforms. So you need to have realistic expectations coming into it, because kind of like what Sam was saying to Mike in our like group chat, like you gotta, not everyone's going to come out the gate getting a ton of views. You have to be kind of realistic with what your kind of views you're going to get with your follower count. But even that, like the follower count doesn't mean a lot, because if you're trying to get sponsorships, the sponsorships want engagement. They don't really care how many followers you get. They care about how many views and eyeballs your videos are going to get.
Now, yeah. And that's the other thing too, is like, you know, out the gate, right? Any platform or any business that you start is going to be hard. So exactly that, like how are you going to diversify that? What are you going to add to that to make it better? And like Mike, I'm interested, because you were saying like you had a switch flip for you, and in our conversations that we were having this weekend in our group chat, like you were saying you're very disheartened by the channel and you're not really sure it's worth it for you. Like you run a very successful business, like you were talking about like your time split and the time shift there. So like for you, what do you feel like was that shift, and do you feel like it was more like internally motivating?
So it is really hard to justify, because there's no money coming. I mean, there have been months. I mean, we were on, the channel was on an upward tick for a solid while. And then some things happened on the back end. One mistake was ours. And then some things we tried was also, they're both our mistakes. But we learned from those. But I mean, I'm having a hard time recovering the channel now from that. But I'll talk about that in a second, what happened. But it was, the views were up, and now they're literally like, 10% of what they were just even a few months ago. And it was a constant growth up. And having a business where I do make good money and then splitting my time into something that, honestly, each video takes so much time. Like, I mean, between, it was like 3 to 5 days of recording for each video, because we have found that builds are the only thing that do well on the channel. And we've tried other things, and that was part of our failings with the channel, is we tried like talking head stuff where I discuss things. Those just didn't land. It was very clear that those were not for my audience. So we had to stop them. And we kept trying them. We kept wanting them to work because they were so easy to produce. We could make one of those we could film one in like 3 hours all in, and then it would be edited in like 4. So we could crank one out. But I didn't like making them either. That's not the kind of video I want to make. We were just trying to do content to get the channel to grab an audience somewhere, but it just wouldn't grab. Thankfully, that didn't work because I don't really want to make those videos. I just want the channel to be a place where I get to do elevated and challenging woodworking and share that with people. That's literally what I want the channel to be, because I get to make stuff for people literally all day long. Like, that's my job. My job is to do commissions. YouTube has become a place where I can challenge myself and do elevated woodworking, and I wanted to share that. Fortunately, the channel has found that audience. So that is part of the reason where I was like, okay, my mindset's flipped. I have this place where I can do my challenging woodworking and share that with people. Cool. That's working great. The gut punch was when Pete was like, hey, I can't do this anymore. On top of it not making money, on top of it really seeing tanking numbers compared to what we've seen. So there was a bunch of like reasons why it was very frustrating and why I was in the dumps. But with that said, the most recent video we just did is my favorite video that we've done. The format is really good. We leaned hard into storytelling, and it's a really good video for it. Like, the voiceover is, everything about it was, I thought, was very enjoyable, and the feedback was great. And our subscriber numbers, because you can go into your metrics and see who's viewing your videos. Amongst the subscribers, it's the highest. It's like 3 times more subscriber views at this point in time than normal. So it definitely landed amongst the subscribers. And the click-through rating is the highest it's ever seen too. So that's exciting, because the format we just released, I don't actually need a camera person to film that. So I was like, okay, this is fine. So I mean, I ordered up all the stuff yesterday, and I've got everything coming for to do this on my own. Again, I'm going to upgrade my camera and do all that stuff. So I guess what's exciting about it is I can do this now on my schedule entirely, instead of having to coordinate with another person, which is a lot, especially with when I am very busy and that person was very busy. And now, instead of having when Pete would come to film, it didn't feel right for either one of us if we couldn't dedicate a whole day to that, because he had to travel here for that and I had to stop work for that. So now I don't need to do that. Now I can do it entirely on my schedule, which is really, really exciting. So that part of it is really good. Am I excited about editing again? Nope, I'm not excited about editing again, but I'm going to look at avenues for that to have that not be something I deal with. And
I think you're touching on something very important here, and that is that you have a business and you have a job running your business, and then you are not feeling stoked about YouTube because you were also making that a second job. So it's kind of like adding another job on top of a job that you already have and that you're already in charge of, right? So like, looking at it that way is tough. It's like working two full-time jobs mm-hmm. essentially at that point, because you're coordinating. Yes, they're similar, but you're coordinating two different things to happen here, right? And so mm-hmm. I feel like what ends up happening, and I think a lot of people fall into this too, when they're trying to like side hustle. I mean, I was there not very long ago where I was side hustling. I had a full-time job, you know, doing my career. And then I had like the second full-time job of YouTube and content creation. And there were many days that I was miserable because I now made myself two jobs. And now doing this full-time, getting to just focus on YouTube, like I have more fun with it. And that mindset alone has like shifted that for me completely.
Which is also why, like, over the course of the past, so almost 2 years ago now, we let our employee go. Just because like Etsy and everything was just kind of slowing down, and we were kind of at that point to where like we either need to make content work or I need to focus on the business, because I've been focusing on content for so long now as like my side hustle and never really focusing on like the business 100%, because content was kind of like where I wanted to end up. So we kind of just got to the breaking point where like, all right, we just need to go for it. So we let our employee go and we kind of shifted towards that goal of getting rid of the business stuff and focus more on content. But because I was juggling both things, it was just hard to go full bore on anything, because I have the push and pull of the content and the orders and all that. So it took us probably a year to actually, it's been a few weeks now where how long have we been doing actual probably a month where we've been just...
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we tried to take everything down, and it took a little while to actually get the physical goods like off of our Etsy and website. But I'd say 2 months now we've been doing it.
So now it's kind of just in like the grind mode of now we need to make money, because we were making pretty much just enough money with content. So now we need to like grind out the content to get that income up, because we lost all that money we were making with the furniture.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to find a way to make YouTube part of the job and not its own job, if that makes sense, right? Like for Mike, you know, he was saying like he was scheduling a completely separate day for YouTube. For you guys, you were saying you were focusing on creating physical goods, but also creating YouTube. And I think that there is something powerful there in the sense of if you can make YouTube part of the job that you are already doing in a natural way, then it makes that so much easier and so much less frustrating and so much like less disheartening. And yeah, you're going to have moments where it feels disheartening because the content's not doing as well as you wanted to, but you're very proud of it. But if you can integrate it naturally into your workday already, and it's part of that process, I think sometimes that like takes some of the extra stress away.
Yeah, having it, well, that definitely will take away stress, because it's very easy for me to find part days or half days or quarter days where I can do things, and everything doesn't have to be done at once. It's edited later into that thing. That's how I used to do it before Pete. I mean, I brought the channel to like, I broke the channel from through 10K by myself, and then Pete and I got it like 25,000 more or whatever like that. So I've done it. It's just, I think the frustrating part was that, yeah, it had become a very regimented job. And even with that, because there's, and this is not, I love Pete, so this isn't like a dig on Pete at all, but there was two people making decisions now, and it slows down the process. There was two people that we had to compromise and come up with stuff and make sure everything worked for both of us. Now I'm a very decisive person, very decisive. By myself, I can make decisions so much faster. So making decisions and not, I don't want to use the phrase hemming and hawing because that wasn't happening, but having to consider both people's opinions and feelings on every decision slows the process down. And now I can be more nimble, which is exciting. So, and some things there's certain things on YouTube you need to do to see success. And Pete was not wanting to do a lot of those things because he's very artistic. And for him, it was a compromise. And I'm talking about thumbs and titles and stuff. There's certain things you just have to do to see the traction you want. I mean, you're making a whole package. You're making a video, which I think that's where, for me, there's no compromise on the video for me. I will not compromise the video in any way. I'll do the video how I want to do it. But the thumbs and titles, I mean, that's not my product. That's just how I get people to see my product. That's marketing for me. So I don't really care. I mean, everyone has their own approach on YouTube, and I'm not saying that my way is the only or correct way. Obviously, I'm still growing and there's a lot to learn. I'll always be learning. But with Pete, there was an uncompromising, there were certain avenues where there was no compromise and we couldn't do that. So now I can just do what I need to do to get the channel going. So I won't see as much of that. The prime example of that is the most recent video. I made a firm stance in the grand about the title and the thumb, and we have the highest CTR we've ever had. So I think those things do make a difference. So that's why I'm excited about it. It's just me now making the decision. So it makes things better. And because it's not so job-like, now I can do it on my time whenever I can, because I do own a business and I'm self-employed, I'm able to find that kind of time very easily. Also, I do have a lot of employees that like run the day-to-day in my business. So I'm able to, I mean, that's been my whole goal with the business. The goal with my business has been for years to grow my business to the point where I oversee everything at 30,000 feet and I just get to build whatever I want all day. And part of that was always because I wanted to do that in content. That's always been my goal, was for the company to make enough money to sustain my employees, myself, the lifestyle I want, to make content, but really just to get better at woodworking. And that's all, it all kind of bleeds together. I have a very specific dream and I know what I want out of YouTube. It's just very, very much a slow slog, especially when you hit walls and it things go backwards. Slow forward, I'm totally fine with. Backwards drives me bonkers. Yeah. Like, I can't handle the backwards. That stuff just drives me nuts. Like, I can't handle it. It's like, what the fuck is happening right now? So
I know, but I feel like that's with any like important journey, right? You're always going to take the steps forward or backwards. I mean, hey, like I published my first YouTube video 7 years ago. And Right. Like, that seems like a lifetime ago for me. I'm a completely different human being than I was 7 years ago, right? But like, I remember 7 years ago, I didn't want to do YouTube, but my community begged me to do YouTube, and I put out some videos, and I very slowly fell in love with that process. And now I just think of YouTube as like second nature to me. Like, it's just something that I just do in my shop as I'm building things and I'm teaching other people. And to me, like, I love it. And that's what helps me get so through those days. Yeah, but that's what helps me get through those days where I like publish a video and it doesn't do well, you know? And like, yeah, like, you know, it's not going to do as well. Not every video is going to do as well as you want it to, but the people who are there for you and the community that you build, like, they're going to show up for you and they're going to watch that video and they're going to find so much value in it. Like, you know, this year I'm so behind because I was so sick in January. I'm still catching up on life. I think I've only published like 3 videos this whole year, and typically I'm publishing 2 a month. And I can't tell you how many people on YouTube will check in on me and be like, "Are you okay? We haven't seen a video." Like, they're just, you know, they genuinely care.
Yeah, they're engaged.
And I feel like, yeah, and like, you get to that point where you're like, you realize like, it's not just about publishing videos anymore. And it's not just about you, but it's about like, you sharing that process that makes you happy with other people, because it also makes them happy too.
And you have to have that flow for like ease of life. Because if you're forcing it, it's just going to be a struggle. And when we had an employee, I mean, this isn't her fault, but she was just always out there and like in the shop. And it was so hard for me to get in a groove and make content because there was always tools running and everything like that. And then kind of, I think this would be a good transition into like the next topic. But so I mainly do talking head kind of stuff. Like, I'm the techie guy. I have 3D printers. I have CNCs. And then I've been talking to Mike about storytelling. I watched Johnny Build's video where he did that tambour door thing. And it was a storytelling the whole time. And I would love to do more stuff like that, because my build videos in the past just haven't done that well. And I think that storytelling is the key versus like how to make this, because most people watching those videos are either just interested in watching it being made rather than actually making that product. So I think, Sam, you should talk about that video you have that's 2 years old that just randomly started taking off.
Yeah, good segue. Look at you. Look at you, your good memory. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't remember anything on this podcast. We'd just be talking about chickens and beer. Sadness. And random things. F-bombs. And
dad jokes.
So I, dad, well, I mean, I don't think anyone would be mad if we just dropped a bunch of dad jokes throughout our podcast. But so let's talk about it. So my last video I published was my basement video. It did well. It just hit 100,000 views yesterday on day 30 of being published. I'm like so excited. Thank you. But it's been a while since I've had a good video that like do that well. And I think that it brought, you know, a whole new subset of audience that's watching some other content. And out of nowhere, out of the blue, I like checked my analytics one day and I had gained a ton of subs, a ton of views. And I was like, where are these coming from? Because they're not coming from the most recent video. Well, a video that I published 2 years ago, which was my DIY deck build video, and it was part 2 of my DIY deck build. So it was kind of like finishing it out, making it look pretty. It just like took off out of nowhere. And I thought the most interesting part about the fact that it took off was when I read the comments. If you haven't seen that video, basically for context, I'm building my deck. Throughout the entire video, I'm telling a story of like, I'm building this deck. I'm thinking of like all these details for a specific purpose. I'm hinting to the fact that I'm building this deck for a specific thing, but I'm not telling you what that thing is. And then at the end of this 24 minute video, I go, okay, now I can tell you why I built our deck. I did this deck because we're getting married in this backyard and I needed a place to host guests and I wanted it to look great. And like, we're getting married in a couple months. And people, most of the comments I'm getting on that video are people being like, not like, love this video, deck was great, but most people are like, oh my God, congrats on your wedding. So excited you're getting married. How cool you're getting married in your backyard. So people were watching that video full start to finish to get to the end to find out why I'm building this deck. And then responding to that on like an emotional level and being so stoked about my wedding, right? So for me, like, I took some notes here because I'm like, man, maybe, you know, in the 7 years I've been publishing content, it hasn't looked the same. I've tried different things. I've tried pure tutorials. I've tried storytelling. I've tried talking head. I've tried pure voiceover. Like, just, you have to throw things out to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And some are going to be successful and some aren't. That is a prime example of something that I tried 2 years ago that I thought, maybe this isn't a successful thing. Like, let me try to pivot and try something else. And now that exact thing is taking off 2 years later. And all that told me is like, all right, well, we're going to go back to storytelling for a little bit now and try that thing again that I thought didn't work because it's working now. So, you know, like, it ebbs and flows and you got to just be cool with the process of changing things up and trying new things. But yeah, that storytelling thing has been powerful.
And for I think your advantage is you have these awesome clients. And like this recent video you did where the client completely changed the books on you. So you kind of have that little advantage of you can play off of the customer and like the slab and, or, you know, the, where the wood comes from and stuff like that to kind of generate a story before you even, you know, you don't, I feel like you don't have to think about it quite as much. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the stories are built in. And like the other thing is, one of the things I really want to do with the channel is challenge myself with builds. And I think that when you do that and you're building new things, things go wrong. And honestly, that's just great content. Like when things go wrong, it's great content. And it's not, don't stage it. I'm not saying like stage it, but like literally the next video I'm going to start filming next week is I have a chair I've been designing for like 6 months. And I literally don't know how I'm going to do the seat or the crest rails. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. I know what the design is. I don't know how I'm going to actually make it. I don't know how. I haven't figured that out yet. And that's basically what the storytelling is going to be in the video. And then it'll just be, you know, a bunch of jokes and see how the failures go. So I'm sure there will be good stuff in there. But yeah, the storytelling aspect, if you look into our space and you see who the most successful, I just did air quotes podcasts, sorry. When you see the most successful people in the space are, they're telling stories. I mean, that's really what it is for the most part. I mean, they're all telling stories. That's the through line for all the successful channels. And you watch Jason Hibbs, you watch Bourbon Moth, and you just sit there and you're like, this whole thing is just anecdotes and stories the whole time. It's not even, and this is no dig on Jason, it's not even that great or compelling of a story, but it's a story nonetheless. Like, it's not just, this is a stool, this is how you make the legs, this is how you make the seats. It's not that. It's just not that. It's the whole thing is some sort of story or anecdote or joke or something like that, the whole thing. And that's very human and very relatable. I think as people in our age group-ish, when YouTube first came out, it was all how-to and tutorial stuff. But now it's transitioning into television. And it's really, YouTube is transitioning into television because they want that actual space. They physically want to be on your television and replace your cable network provider. And I think what's happening is YouTube is pushing and promoting videos that can replace television for people. And that means a story. Reality TV type shows.
It doesn't take away from still teaching people. Like, no. You know, some of my most successful, I think, videos I have do include a story because from start to finish, like, we're going through a project and, you know, yeah, I'm having these moments of talking to the camera and being like, okay, guys, I fucked up. Like, I don't know what to do here. And then like figuring that out on camera, or like having these moments of like showing how excited my dad is to work with me in the basement. And like, there's still a story there of like, let me walk you through my journey of renovating my basement laundry room and like show you those fun moments that are actually happening in real life. But at the same time, like, I'm still sharing techniques or things that you can do in like your basement if you have a low ceiling or if you want to brighten up a dark basement. And I'm not necessarily being like, this is how I tiled this wall. Step one, I did this. Step two, I did this. But what I am saying is like, at this point, I tiled this wall and I was able to get that done pretty quickly. And like, if you want a how-to, here are some videos you can check out for it. We're going to breeze through this because I was behind schedule here. Like, that is how I tell my stories in that aspect. It's not necessarily like I'm writing out a full novel script. And some people do, and that works for them. But I think that just bringing people along with you on a journey and making them feel like they are there with you as you are doing what you are doing can be enough of a storytelling technique.
Yeah. And I think if you have like tips and tricks stuff is going to do really well, but boring stuff like sanding or grouting a thing,
yeah,
you don't want to cover that stuff because honestly, there's a point where you want to, if you cover everything, there's nothing for people to engage with in the comments. Mm-hmm. If you cover everything and everything is correct, then what are they going to engage with other than being like, that's really helpful or great video? You need to leave some details out at least until the end or entirely to make it sort of interesting. I mean,
it's funny you say that. I just did that with my deck. And like, I did it on purpose. I know that not showing landscaping fabric going under my deck is going to trigger a lot of comments. And when I reshared my deck recently, because it's seasonal and like you got to repurpose content, especially if it's seasonal, it does well. I was like, should I add the landscape fabric in? Because like last time I posted this thing, people were like really up in arms about it because they didn't see it. And I was like, no, because if I don't add that, then it's going to start a conversation about it again. And sure enough, there are a lot of comments in there about, well, you didn't put any landscape fabric. And I'm like, actually, I did. And if you're curious to see the full tutorial, there's a link for it in my bio. Go check it out. And then like, hopefully drive some traffic there. But yeah, sometimes you do have to like leave some mystery in there.
And it's not sneaky. I mean, it's just smart. It's just how you have to use the platform to get people to engage. I mean, it's just really important to make the product good, and a good product on YouTube is engaging and makes you want to keep watching. So, and that's just the bottom line. Like if it covers every single base, well, for one, if you're watching someone sand an entire like panel or something for like 5 minutes, who the fuck is going to watch that? Like that is so boring. Like there's just so many things you don't need to cover in its entirety. You just need to really speak to it quickly. And then there's other things where you can't, like Sam said, you can just get really, it's not even sneaky, get clever with your storytelling and omit it. And then you've engaged with people because people get so mad so fast about things. It's great.
I skip sanding now. And I just, in the videos, I'm like, guys, we're not going to talk about sanding because it's really boring. Yeah, exactly. So like, let's just like go to the part that we're all interested in. Okay. And like, I'm just very like, and it makes my life easier because I don't want to sit there and set up a camera of me sanding because my poor editor has to like listen to that and look at that and like figure out like, how are we not going to make this boring? Right. So like,
there are some things
that it's cool to omit. And then you just like make it part of the storytelling.
I think some people right away are afraid to show mistakes because they don't want to look like they don't know what they're doing, but you need
show
to include
your mistakes.
It makes you look human and people can learn how to fix the, like, you know, you're still offering that value of like, oh, that's how they fix it if something like that ever happens to me. Like in Johnny Build's video, you mentioned the story. Like I think like a third of his story is just about some kid from high school. So it wasn't even like pertain to the build at all, but it kept you engaged because like, who the heck's this kid he's talking about? And then at the end of the video, sorry to spoil Johnny's video, but he didn't plan for the door accordingly and he had to like cut off the back, but he fixed it and you couldn't even really tell that he messed up. So you have to include that stuff in there. And with storytelling, like with the podcast, I'm excited to have people like that on the podcast like later on, so we can actually dive into like Jason's thought process on like a story or Johnny's thought process on a story and like individual topics, because like, I need to learn more about that kind of stuff and I think it'd be super interesting.
We were definitely editing the videos to make our videos look like there was no mistakes made. And that's a failure. Like that was a huge failure on the channel and a missed opportunity. It's 100% right. Like if you mess up, that's more content. And it's, everyone makes mistakes. I mean, so much of woodworking is fixing your mistakes. And if you don't share, I mean, we're not talking about woodworking. I'm talking about everything. If whatever you're doing, everyone makes mistakes and it happens. That just happens. Like you can't present it as though nothing bad ever happens. You can't. It's unrealistic. And that makes it not relatable. So showing those mistakes is a chance for more content, a chance to drive the story in an interesting direction. I mean, it becomes your antagonist for the story. Every story needs a protagonist and an antagonist. And when you have mistakes are your antagonist. Sometimes. Sometimes it's the client. Sometimes it's, you know, whatever, dry rot or whatever. You run into something. There has to be some sort of compelling antagonist. It can't just be like, I built this thing and it went smooth. Everything was great. No one wants to. I mean, that's how you don't get engagement. It's just not compelling enough. It needs to have some element of excitement to it. And that means there needs to be a bad guy. That's the bottom line.
Some of the most popular comments I get on my content are like, thank you so much for leaving your mistakes in, or like, so glad to see I'm not the only one who does XYZ, or like, so glad I'm not the only one who sings dumb songs to my dog while like working on my projects, like things like that, right? Like it's fun to leave those moments in too, because it just makes you human. I think so much of social media is like sunshine and rainbows, and like how many times you look at somebody's Instagram feed and you're like, oh my God, they have the best life ever. They're just like living their best life and they're not showing those like hard human moments, and it's it's unrelatable in a way, right? And then like you finally show those hard human moments, and then other people are like, oh great, like that person's not a robot, you know? So I think, yeah, it's so important.
And it's much more enjoyable to make content that's real. I mean, you're eventually living a lie, and you just can't, I mean, it's not, I mean, that's a bit extreme to categorize it that way, but it's so much more fun to be yourself and human in your content than it is to create this character that you now have to live. We've all seen actors and actresses and content creators who are very clearly miserable because they have to live out this character that they're not that person, you know? And don't do that to yourself. Just don't. Like, be you. Just be authentic in all things and do it. Like, it's just, don't try to craft and script this character on these videos. Be yourself, because it's so easy to be yourself compared to being a character. It's just so much better. So,
yeah. I think people get scared that, like, if they're themselves, that, look, we all have insecurities. We're human beings. Everyone has something they're insecure about. And I think that the big fear here is that if I start sharing who I am for real, and like, I am insecure about this thing, like, people aren't going to like me for it, or they're not going to follow me for it, or they're also going to see that thing I'm insecure about. Just put yourself out there, just like to it. Because at the end of the day, the people who are going to love you and your authentic self are the people who are worth it and are going to stick around and are going to rally for you and cheer you on and continue to show up for you. And the reason they're doing that is because they connect to you and they love that you're putting yourself out there. So like, don't shy away from being you. I say it all the time. Like, how many times have I said to like our creator friends, I feel like I am just this like creative weirdo. And like, even in person, I'm like bubbly and I talk a lot and I'm like a little strange. And I'm like, but you know what? I have all these friends who just accept me for who I am, and my audience loves it. And like, they are all about the Grammy Award winning songs I make up when I'm singing to my dog in my content that I leave in there because I'm weird and I am not pretending like I'm not weird, right? So just do it. Like, just be you. And it's not easy. It took me a very long time. I said it again, like I said it before. My first video I shared was 7 years ago. It is so stale. If you watch that video, it's still on my channel. I keep it there for a reason, sure, as a nice reminder, because it is so stale and so void of any personality. And I did videos like that for a long, long, long time because I was nervous if I showed people how weird I was right off the bat, they wouldn't subscribe and they would be like, this is like unprofessional, or this is XYZ. And then the second I flipped that switch in my head and started not caring what other people think of me, it was like the best decision ever. And my channel just like really took off after that.
Yeah. But it's also like for your mental health, like it's just, you have to be you. And that's the only way people are actually going to connect with you and relate to you. Because like you said, like, you think you're weird, but like so many people have such same feelings and insecurities as you do. And that's how they're going to relate to you, is just being a genuine you.
Yeah. And I think it is easy. Mm-hmm. Like when you watch other people's content, to be like, that person's so cool. And this person's doing this thing. And I wish I was doing what that person's doing. And I think it's easy to want to like emulate that a little bit in what you're doing, especially when you're first starting. But like, that's exhausting too. Like, you know, you do have to eventually figure out how to do it for you and on your own, and just like, be you. Because at the end of the day, like, we are all creative and unique in our own ways, and there are people that are going to resonate with that.
And also, like, hitting on a topic earlier, Mike's a little down that his video kind of like hit a wall, and then he's kind of feels like he's taken a couple steps backwards, but then at the same time you feel like he's figured out his groove. So it's just a roller coaster of emotions. But how many creators have we talked to or heard from that have had one video change their entire channel? Like Michael Elm, yeah, that plywood tambour door thing he did, I'm pretty sure that video skyrocketed him to where he is today. So you're just one post away pretty much at all times from getting a whole new different audience.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I feel like also you can't like plan around that though, either though.
Oh,
I mean,
no. Have to do your
thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's true. 100%. Like, that stuff happens, but like, you just have to like do your thing. I mean, I'm like trying to pull up Michael's channel to see like, I mean, his pattern plywood videos are one, that's his brand, you know? So like Michael's videos, just, you know, yeah, everyone loves Michael.
Those videos are what kept me sane and healthy during the pandemic. Like, I swear, I just like inhaled those videos and like played around with pattern plywood while we were all stuck inside, like having all these scrap pieces that we needed to do things with. And I also, Michael Alm is just the best. Like, can we just put that out there? He's just like the sweetest human being.
Being yourself, Michael Alm is a testament to being yourself. like you'll meet Michael Om and you're like, oh, this is Michael Om on YouTube, is the same person in life.
100%.
Like, this is a very sweet human being. Like, this is a very, like, he's objectively just a very nice person. Like, you, there's really not many people in the world that I've met in my life that I'm like, this is probably the nicest person I've ever met. And Michael's one of them. You know what I mean? Like, Michael's just a super nice guy. And he exudes that because he's being himself. And if you meet any content creators that are doing well, you do see that that's them being themselves. I think there's probably like two exceptions that I can think of off the top of my head. But like, for the most part, by and large, the people who are doing content and are successful at it are themselves, at least in this space. I think that that's not necessarily true in other spaces. But in this space, the most successful people are them being themselves. And they just are being themselves. And that's how you do it. And yeah, it's all the things. It's a better story. Because you're being yourself. It's consistent too, because you're not having to remember how to be, because you're just being you. Like, you don't have to remember the character you are. You can just be yourself. But it's mental health. It's so many things. You really need to do that. But I wanted to say, like, since we are talking about YouTube and like missteps. So one happened was back in January, we had decided to unify the channel, because I was doing the YouTube channel before Pete, and there were the videos, I mean, in the beginning, we're just way off base for one, what does well on YouTube. There was just really bad videos on there. So we decided to clean up the channel and unify the look. And what happened was, instead of unlisting them, two of them got deleted. It was us. We deleted it. You don't do that. Don't ever delete a video. You need to, if you're going to move a channel.
He just incriminated himself. He was like, videos got deleted. It was us. Like, we did it.
It was totally us.
It was me.
In my head, it was happening, and I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to do that, but let's get rid of them. So instead of getting them to unlisted, which is what you should do, we deleted them. And there's a lot of information on YouTube from people saying how that affects the algorithm and how your channel is viewed by YouTube. Some of them say it doesn't matter, but by and large, every bit of research I've seen says that essentially what happens is the algorithm and YouTube is just pulling data points off of all your videos. And you have all these data points on this big piece of paper, let's say. And now what's happened is you've removed two or three of them completely out of the data points. When you delete them, it doesn't have that data anymore. When you unlist them, it has the data, but it stops adding to the data. But when you delete them, those data points are gone, and it essentially resets the algorithm for your channel and doesn't know how to treat your channel. And when you're a channel that has a smaller channel, like mine, it's 30,000, which 30,000 subs is great, but like, it's not a huge channel. It doesn't have a ton of data to pull from. Like, when we roll out a video, or God, I got to stop saying we, when I roll out a video, typical high amount of subscriber views is like 12 or 1500 views. It's basing the performance of that video on those initial views. And that's not a lot of people watching a video to determine the future of a video, in my opinion. But that's just how YouTube works, because it pulls from your most dedicated viewers to decide how they're interacting with video, engaging with it. And then it decides to release it to non-viewers out to browse and see how they respond to it. And that just means how long they're staying on the video, how many people are clicking on your video if it's presented to them, stuff like that. So when we deleted those videos, we lost all that data. And then we tried some new stuff, which did not work at all, and we kind of sent things into a tailspin. So the good news is that decline and that step back for the channel made us really evaluate the channel and go, what do we need to do here to make this actually work? And that got us to where we are at now with this most recent video. Unfortunately, it's just too little too late for Pete, which is totally understandable. He needs to make money. Making videos is literally his job. So he had to go. But now I have a good springboard for the videos moving forward. Not that our previous videos were off base. They just weren't story driven like this. And now I'm very excited to tell the story. Like, when I was doing the voiceover for that, I was like, this is really fun. This is what I want to do. This is exciting. So I think the thing that was really bumming me out was, like, I have all this extra work now, but I'm just going to be setting a camera up on a tripod. Like, before Pete would have to do that, that's like 2 more minutes or like 1 more minute of work per shot. Like, it's not that big of a deal. The other thing was before is with a camera person, they can shoulder mount and follow around, which I'm going to lose that out of the channel, which I did like that in the channel. It was the walk and talk stuff, but it's not going to change the channel hardly at all. It's going to just make it so that I just move a tripod around instead of waiting for Pete to set up for a shoulder mount. So it's going to save time. ultimately I think I'm going to be able to kick out videos at a more, not rapid pace, but a more consistent pace. So I think I'll be able to do that at a more consistent pace. So anyway, don't do dumb things.
I'm excited for your new venture just because, like you said before, it's a business partnership. So you had to take both feelings into account versus now if you have an idea, you can act on it versus like, okay, I got to run this to Pete and talk to it with him and do all that. So I think it's going to be overall for the best. Not that Pete didn't add. That's great, but I think
it's going to be for the best. Yeah, it is. I agree. Like I completely agree. I've been having this conversation with several people, you know. He was great. I learned a lot with him. It was great. There's no regrets there at all. But I think this is going to make the channel much more nimble. I don't think so. I know it's going to make the channel much more nimble, and I am excited about that. So, I'm excited to get going and up and rolling with that. And like late at night sometimes when I can't do stuff cuz I don't have employees here, like some of the things we do are so big, I can't physically move them by myself. So now when I'm working late and I've got stuff to do in the shop, I can start filming again late, which is I'm very excited about. So there's a lot of good things from this. It's just when it's happening, it's really hard to be positive about what you feel is negative change.
And it was a lot to digest too. Like it's been
kind of a rough like 5 days. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the back end, but on the background, but yeah, it was a rough few days, but anyway.
Change is scary, but it gives you a chance to pivot a little bit, right? And like, you know, I know it's like annoying when you're in like a bad mental space or like a lot of things are happening that are negative. And then you have those people who are like, there's always a positive somewhere. But I do think like, I do like to look at things that way because I do believe there is a positive somewhere somehow. And I think in a moment like this for you, Mike, like you're dealing with a big change now for your channel and you're dealing with now having to do things by yourself that you weren't doing before. But the positive here is A, you get to do it on your own schedule now, and B, you get to try something new that you haven't maybe done yet for your channel that you're actually kind of mm-hmm. excited about, and you see how it goes. And this is your chance to be able to experiment now with the style that you want and you like without another creative hand in, you know, the canvas. And I think that it's going to make for like really cool content from you, because now I feel like we're going to get to see even more of who you are and like what you do and your personality, because 100%. There's nobody else putting that into it. Like that, it's all you. It's right. 100% you.
It's not an amalgamation of mine and Pete's opinions. It's Mike's opinions right. and it's my channel now. So yeah, it's exciting.
We're also very hard on ourselves. Mike, you're hard on yourself. I'm very hard on myself, but I think you almost need to be to really look at the situation, be like, okay, that didn't work. Versus I feel like too many people get caught up in that realm of just complacency. And you have to look at yourself and see and accept the things you're doing wrong or possibly doing wrong and being willing to change.
Yeah, that is an important part about growth and running a business. I mean, it ties back into this. I mean, essentially YouTube, if you're trying to grow on YouTube, you're essentially turning it into a business at some point. Now, I do agree that the mindset needs to be like, how do I make a good product? Product is the most important thing. Like in anything you do, you need to have a good product. There's no get rich quick scheme. There never is. There's always a long road to travel to get to the point where you're going to make, have a successful thing. And that really starts with having a good product and a good package. And all these things have to be delivered in a good way. And that's what the process is for YouTube. Like you need to make a good product through a process that you love and enjoy. Now I get to do this by myself, which is where I do the best work, honestly, is by myself. But it's going to be good. I mean, you got to be able to evaluate what you're doing and say, okay, this isn't right. And then in our heads, we go, the algorithm, man, this fucking algorithm, man. And we all do this to ourselves. But I mean, honestly, I think the pivot needs to be, and I'm myself included, I blame algorithm for things too. It needs to go, what can I change? And that's what it really is. Like, I need to go like, what can I change? What is my shortcomings? Yesterday I was diving through my analytics and I got to a spot where I was like, I'm going to look at my lifetime CTR for my channel. And that number doesn't matter. But the point was it had a breakdown of all my, it has like your top three click-through ratings of a video and your bottom three click-through ratings of a video. And I noticed instantly there was something in common with the top three and something in common with the bottom three. So at the beginning of all of our videos, we have like 5 seconds of quick shots of action shots from the video. And then there's a sign drop and we have the sign drop and we have this music. All the videos with that have terrible CTR out of the gate. And I was like, oh, that is very off-putting for people apparently. We thought no one cares because cool we spent this time producing. No one gives a shit. They want the meat of the video. So I went into editor and I deleted all that out on YouTube of all the videos. And already the average view duration is going up on every single one of those videos. And it's been a day. So that's you really need to be able to, like, it doesn't matter how emotionally attached to things you are. You need to not get emotionally attached to things. Like, we were like, this is great. Like, I love this sign drops. It's sick. We spent like 7 hours filming this thing. We became emotionally attached to it because we put work into something that we shouldn't have. And that's the things you need to learn on YouTube. Well, on anything. Like, where do you need to spend your time? And your time needs to be spent best doing things that make your product better. And your product is better not based on what you think of it. Your product is better based on what your people consuming it thinks of it. And the people who are consuming our product didn't want that at the beginning of their video. They would never tell us that because individually they might actually think it's okay or whatever. But by and large, the people who won't tell you is the general viewing audience. And you have to learn that by reading your analytics. And I learned that yesterday by reading the analytics that that is not work for the channel. And you can see very clear trends in videos. And YouTube is the best platform for this because you get to see so many analytics. You can deep dive things and be like, oh, this thing we thought was great is not working at all. And I just deleted it out. Like, I just deleted it out. Like, we used to do like a long outro. We're like, thanks for watching the video. This is, and it didn't work for the channel. It might work for the channels, but literally the video I try to make the videos now to where you don't even know the end is coming. Like, it just ends.
It ends.
And the reason for that is because we want no drop off at the end. I don't want to see any drop off on my videos. So, I mean, everything gets wrapped up and bundled up, but I'm not speaking to it. It just ends. And then the video's over. So we learned that early on and we made our outros not exist. So in everyone's head, when you're writing and when you're making something, anything, especially when you're telling any sort of story or presenting things that people think of a beginning, a middle, and an end. But with YouTube, we've learned like everything needs to be the middle. There needs to be no big intro. There needs to be right into it. And that's where the videos were performing the best. We have a video at like, I have a video at like 300 and something thousand views. It has no intro. It gets right into it. It comes in hot right out of the gate. And that CTR is super high on that video for the channel. And that that average view duration is very high because the whole thing is meat. There's no like slowing down. It's me hitting constantly with information, constant. There's no storytelling in that, but it is just constantly good information. And the people who are looking for that video are there for good information, not for a story. So the whole video as a package is a really good, it delivers on everything it needs to be. You really need to be able to evaluate yourself is what I just took 7 minutes to explain.
No, it makes sense. Look, the algorithm, yes, there is, we think like the big mysterious Wizard of Oz algorithm that none of us actually know what the algorithm does. But, you know, I think it is very easy to be like, it's the algorithm, but it is harder to take a moment to do exactly what you're doing and to deep dive into what's working, what's not, what your audience is resonating with. You know, I think, yes, is there something to like putting out a video and then like walking away from it and being like, okay, wipe my hands clean onto the next project? Sure. But if you are really looking to grow and improve on anything, not just YouTube, not just social media, anything, you have to take those moments where you're actually reflecting and looking and learning. And like, if you have actual data points like YouTube is giving to you, like, take a moment to look through those. And I, you know, I'm the first one to admit that I spent years and years and years not doing that. And I'm just starting to learn how to do that now, 7 years after publishing my first video. But like, it's important. It is important because if you want to continue to grow and keep up, and you know, if you're someone who's doing this as a side hustle and you want to make this a living, you have to have those moments where you can't just keep being like, oh, it must be the algorithm. Like, you have to have those moments where there's some self-reflection and self-improvement.
And yeah, one thing, the biggest difference for me between Instagram and YouTube is it's evergreen. YouTube, you post it and it's there pretty much forever. Versus Instagram, I can take a look at a video and be like, okay, that did bad. And I can re-edit it, repost it, and it'll usually do a lot better. Versus YouTube, you have to take that data and apply it to the next video.
Yeah, you need to really be able to analyze what you have going on around you. I mean, there's information for you to pull things from. You're not going into these things blind. I mean, that was really eye-opening yesterday when I opened that up. I mean, that thing where it was like, hey, these videos don't have it's the 30-second retention that I was talking about. Sorry, not the overall retention. That 30-second retention is what I was talking about. You can get really a lot of really cool deep dive data. Like, it'll tell you how many people dropped off after the 30-second mark in your video. Which really tells you that your video, you're not coming in hot enough. Like if you have a ton of drop off in that 30 seconds, there's two things happening. One is that YouTube is putting your video in front of people that just aren't interested in your video, which is probably not the case. That's typically not going to be the case. Typically, it does a fairly decent job doing that. And the other thing is that you didn't make a compelling start to your video. And I think that's the thing you need to assume that it is at all times, is that you did something. Because typically, unless some weird outlier happens, which I have had a weird outlier. Like I did a coffee table video, and for some reason it got picked up by Google search, and it just completely ruined that video. And that was part of that whole 2 month period where I had just deleted some videos. We were changing some format stuff that didn't work. And then that video got hijacked by Google, and that thing like shot up to like 35,000 views in like 3 days or something like that. And then died because, it was being served to people who weren't necessarily, I think they weren't looking for that, a video like that. And it just wasn't what they wanted. That's the only time where I can look at data and be like, yeah, that was a good video. But we got screwed by an outlying source. Like I can't control that video got picked up by Google search. You just can't. But there were definitely things we could have done to make it better. Always.
I got my train of thought back. Okay. So I used to do that I used to do that intro where I'd like talk about it for like 15 seconds, but everyone just hits that fast forward skip button. So I do what Mike does now, and I pretty much try to slam right into it. And then at the end of the build video, I would do like 45 seconds of like beauty shots, but no one cares. As soon as they hit that, you can see the chart drop right off. And right now my current video is doing pretty well.
One shot.
But it got picked up by Google, and people are just clicking on it and just clicking away. So my retention is just horrible. But like I've got like 60% of my views from the external source, which is Google, which just sucks. But like, what do you do about it? There's just not a whole lot you can do. But I mean, after like, it sucks now because YouTube, like I watched the video, I'm like, okay, my intro should have been a lot shorter. Like I should have cut out like 30 seconds of meat, but it's already live and there's no real way I can just cut it and enter the video. So it's just, you kind of just got to let it rip and learn and imply that to the next video.
Yeah. For that video, specifically that one I was talking about, I mean, 65% of views came from external and it was 99% Google. 65% of views on that video. That's insane. Like that video got screwed out of the gate. So, that will happen. I mean, I think I've heard every single person I've talked to who does a YouTube channel says that that's happened to them on videos. I mean, it just happens. You just can't
control. So right now I have 18,000 views in 2 days and 53% of it's external. And 97% of that is Google search. And then the other is all from browse. So that sucks. Being on browse is great. And I don't know how you get on there, but you have to get on that browse feature. But yeah, Google, man. Because people search it, they open up the video on Google because whatever reason it's ranking, and then it's either what they're looking for or it's not, and they watch 3 seconds and just bail out of there.
Yeah, they got this video got 27,000 views in 2 days. It was all Google. So
wow,
those things happen. I mean, it just look, it's a bummer. I mean you can't do anything about it, and you just move forward.
No, exactly, and that's exactly it. I was going to say that, like, all this to say, not everything is going to be a winner, and not everything, like, we can't control every aspect of the content and the art that we are putting out. But in those moments when you're bummed, it's not personal. Like, you can't take it personal. You have to have those moments where you're like, okay, well, like, I got to pivot, or I got to do something different, or maybe I don't. And this is just one of those cases where something's weird, but you can't let it stop you. If you let every time you were discouraged in life stop you from trying that next thing, like how many times would you quit? Right. So,
All of them.
And social media and YouTube are exactly like that. Like you have to have it, and you have to have those internal motivators, and you have to be like, go back to your why, like, why am I doing this? And why do I continue to do this even when it doesn't do well? And you have to stick with it because it's going to really carry you through, especially in the times when like your content just doesn't do as well as you hope it would.
Yeah, you really have to have grit for all these things in business and any venture you take. I mean, it's tough. Like, there's a lot of things that are tough. The things that are the toughest are the most worth it, in my opinion. Like, you put in all this effort and blood, sweat, and tears, and you get to the other side when you succeed at it, and you're like, man, this was a lot, but man, it's mine. So I really encourage everyone to not give up, even when it feels like the right thing. I mean, sometimes you do need to be like, yeah, this was a failure. And you have to like be like, yeah, this wasn't the direction. I shouldn't have done this. This was a mistake. You need to be able to like look at yourself and your ventures and know when that is the case. But I think with with something like YouTube or content, like if you are willing to grow, there's no point where you need to give up, because you can just always keep putting out videos and sometimes things won't go well. But it is about, what is your goal? If your goal is just money, don't do YouTube.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee, you know, and there's just other things where you can make better money. It's just kind of the facts. I know we should probably wrap this thing up, right?
Yeah. We got to get a cat to a vet.
Yeah. So we look, guys, thank you for sharing the show so much. Keep doing that. Please keep sharing the show.
We love you.
Yeah, we do. Like, we'll share whatever you share. Like, it's helping grow the channel. We're seeing, or the channel. It's helping grow the podcast. We're seeing you guys. We're seeing growth every week. We're seeing us hit the charts higher. We're seeing more downloads. And that's because of you. So thank you so much. We want to put out a good product here. We love doing this. We're having fun with it. So
give us feedback.
Yeah, for real.
So, someone mentioned they want to hear us talk about our lives more, or like what we're working on. We'll try to work on that more. Yeah, we didn't do it this episode. So we will next time. We did the last episode though. We'll do better. Yeah, give us feedback.
Who lets us do this unsupervised?
No, we definitely want to hear like what you want out of the show. I mean, it's the same thing about making a YouTube video. We get a direct line to you guys, so you can tell us what you would like the show to be. Obviously, we're not going to change the format too much, but we will include more stuff for sure. So we want to hear it. Hit us with it. So, but really, get us those reviews. Get us those shares. It helps us.
Dad jokes. And keep...
Dad jokes. Yeah, more dad jokes.
This thing is fueled by dad jokes. So, anyway, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye, friends.
This is Selfmade. If you'd like to learn more about the show or its hosts, check the links down below in the bio. And if you think we've earned it, please leave us a 5-star review and share the show with your friends.